MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bet with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Shannon. New customers can bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Shannon. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Nightcap. We got a jam-packed show for you tonight. I am your favorite unc, Shannon Sharp. He's your favorite number 85, route runner extraordinaire, Liberty City's own, Bengals Ring of Fame honoree. He's a pro bowler. He's an all-pro all the way from Oregon State. He's Chad Ocho Cinco Rosado Hash Johnson. And my other co-host, he's your favorite number zero, Arizona Wildcat legend, the Wizard great, once scored 60 points, Ocho, in some flip-flop. Saw it myself. Yeah. Saw it my own tour. Yeah. Didn't he roll an ankle today? That's Gilbert Arenas, a.k.a. Hibachi Man. Guys, please, we've been nominated for what? Two more shorties, right? We've been nominated for two more shorty awards. Please get out and vote for us. You did your thing for the Webby Best Sports Podcast, the iHeart Best Sports Podcast. Let's see if we can make it a clean sweep. Go 3 for 3. So please get out and vote. Thank you again. Please make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit that like button for Nightcap. We greatly appreciate that. Thank you guys for selling out Shea by LaPortier. I really want to thank you guys for your patience, but I've been getting a lot of messages and some DMs that you guys have been receiving your orders. So thank you. Thank you so kindly for your patience. Also, please make sure you subscribe to Gil's Arena channel on YouTube. He has a show that airs every Monday through Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's Gil's Arena channel on YouTube. It airs. He has a show, live show, every Monday through Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. You could also follow Gil. He has a personal page on YouTube, and it's called No Chill Gil. That's Gil's personal YouTube page. It's called No, it's called what? No Chill Gill? Yeah, No Chill Gill. Hey, let's go on out there and get these subs up for my man. You got a person? Wait. You got a YouTube channel too? I don't know about
it. Yeah, ladies and fellas, if you're trying to save some money, your woman's upkeep, you want to stop giving her money for nails, hair, lashes, and eyebrows, go to my YouTube tutorials on women's maintenance. And again, it teaches you how to do everything step by step. It teaches you how to do everything. It adds up. It adds up, fellas. I'm trying to save some money. Check out my YouTube tutorials, Women's Upkeep by Ocho.
And I got a new page coming up tomorrow to show you women how to go step by step and leave your man just being cheap. Okay? It's a step by step tutorial. And everything Ocho and Chief teaching the men, I'm going to teach you the ladies how to undo that. Let's jump right into the show. The Thunder take a 2-0 series lead against the Pelicans. Shai Gilgeous, 33 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Chet Holmgren, 26.7 rebounds, 2 blocks. J-Dub, man, they got all the Williams. If your last name is Williams and you're black and you're in Oklahoma, you play for the Thunder. He had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and they take a commanding lead 2-0 as they blow out the Pelicans 124-92. The Thunder looked sensational tonight, and they were barking all over the arena. Gil, you watched this game closely. What did you like about how did the Thunder make it look so easy?
They just have too much firepower. I mean, these guys know how to play well together. And without Zion, it's really not a fair matchup. I mean, they beat their booty off their back tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, this... this is not even a fair matchup. This literally looks like an AC.
Right. The Pels should have stole that game one. They had game one, Gil. Mm-hmm. That was the one they should have had, and they let that one get away from them. Mm-hmm. And the Thunder made sure tonight, we're not going to even put you in that situation where you think you could have won. We're going to go ahead and take care of this thing early on and make sure you know that your guys come fourth quarter going to be sitting down chilling because this game is over and you're getting ready for game three.
Hey, the Thunder as a team, as a whole, the Thunder played much better. They played much better than the Pelicans. Obviously, when the Pelicans don't have Zion, I'm not saying they lost, but they look lost out there. Hell, the goddamn Thunder trio tonight had 80 points together and they shot damn 65% from the damn field.
Yeah. Well, when you get that kind of production from your big three, it's hard to beat them when you allow a team to shoot. First of all, you give up 35 in the first quarter, you give up 28. So now you've given up 63 points at the half, and then you give up another 29, and you give up 32 in the fourth. Mm-hmm. And so when you get your big three and they give you that kind of production on that kind of efficiency, it's going to be hard to reload.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to overcome that.
When you're talking about the playoffs, like there's a golden rule that we have as a road team, the easiest game. Mm-hmm. To win is usually game one. Mm-hmm. That's the one you want because the pressure is on the home squad, right? They have, you know, they didn't sleep. They got the kids at home. They got the wives, whatever that is, right? There's so much anxiety about playing that first game. So that is usually the easiest one, you know, to get. So the fact that they didn't get that one kind of lets you know they was going to get their ass beat today. And the fact that Ingram is not even showing up, right? You're supposed to be the second best player on the court. They go Shai, then you. And the fact that you're only getting 10 shots up in there.
Yeah. That's not nearly enough. I mean, they had balanced production. I mean, if you look at it, he was 5 or 10, perfect from the free throw line. Herb was 6 of 9, 4 of 7 from 3, perfect from the free throw line. But it's just not enough shots. Trey Murphy was 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. They were 7 of 26. When you go 7-26 and you get outscored by 21 from the 3-point line and your best player is not there, you have to get more production from your guys. B.I. needed to be around 30. C.J. McCollum, who had a great stretch of about 10 games, he needs to be around 25. And now we get Herb to come in there, Herb or Trey Murphy the third. One of those guys needs to give you somewhere around 25 to match this kind of production, especially on the road, Gil.
We just called Jones. I mean, someone born in, 98 caught being called Herb. Come on, God. Herb, man.
Hey, I have a question about the MVP discussion real quick. I know it's still the playoffs, mm-hmm. but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he shot 13 for 19 tonight.
Yeah.
He had 33 points.
Yes.
What are the chances of him winning MVP over Luka?
No,
I'm just curious.
Jokic, did you see Jokic the other night against Anthony Davis? 27, yes, 20, and 10.
Wait, hold on.
So he running away with it again?
They already got the votes in, Ocho. The playoff, yeah. They had to vote. They had to get the votes in before the play-in tournament. Before the play-in tournament started. So those votes alone, the playoffs, the regular season MVP, and the postseason has no bearing on the regular season.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's before the playoffs start, but. From how we seen who was it most improved?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can just say, all right, they already started on some bull crap. They are.
Nas Reed, what Gil is talking about. A lot of people thought Malik Monk. He led in scoring. Yeah. He led in assists. He led him made threes off the bench. He's made a lot of category, but Nas Reed beating out for sixth man of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Nas got the bid because he got to start some games.
Yeah,
right.
To start some games, you get you know some more shots that you normally wouldn't get when you're coming off the bench. So that usually helps a lot of those six men that play starter minutes or they start some games that year. Right, they usually have an advantage over that six man award.
Oh, so hold on. You said most improved. Did you think Maxey didn't deserve? You think Maxey?
No.
Oh, you thought Kobe White should have won most improved.
Yeah, because Kobe White from last year, he was a bench player last year.
Yes.
He got put in the role. So he averaged 9 and then this year 10, which is a plus 10.
Right.
Right. I mean,
he had 9 and averaged 19. Okay.
Right. Last year, Maxey averaged 20.
Right.
Right. This year, 5.9. Right.
Right.
But how I judge Maxey is you started off great, Embiid left. Who were you when Embiid was gone? When you were the number one option, who were you? Your team was 16 and 27.
Right.
So you was a bottom feeding team and you wasn't carrying them on your team. Let's me know you wasn't the most improved. And that's how I judge it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Plus five, what did you do when Embiid, like if you had a plus five, but your team was the other way, 27 and 16, oh yes, you get it. But the fact that y'all was a bottom feeding team when Embiid wasn't on the floor,
right,
lets me know what you really were.
Hey, so Gil, that means when Embiid goes out, does Maxey have to make up for that lack of production?
Not the production as a whole,
right? But some of it.
Right. It's you're playing at a 50% pace, or you're a little bit of over 500.
Right.
You're supposed to be the most improved. You're supposed to be the second best player. You should show some type of leadership when the number one player is gone.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
When Zion went down, Ingram was holding the ship aboard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right?
So you have to be able to hold the ship.
Right.
You know, kind of like what you see Ant-Man doing when Cat goes down, that's what he wanted to see Maxey do when Embiid went down. So instead of getting your average, no, we need to see you go from averaging 26 to averaging 36.
Mm.
Like Brunson. If they said Brunson is the most improved, I wouldn't even bat it because his dominance when he lost his
Drew Ramble
number and a lot of players on that team and put the team Ramble on his back.
Mitchell Robinson.
It looks like.
When you go back and you look at Jalen Brunson, when Luka went down a couple of years ago, that's what got him that payday in New York.
Yep.
That's why Dallas regretted not giving him that 3-year extension for $55 million. Because now they see, like, hold on, wait a minute. Oh, if we put the ball in your hand, you're capable of doing this? Because, Ocho, we've seen this before. We don't know what a guy's capable of because he's playing behind somebody.
Somebody.
Then he goes and gets his own team. It's kind of like Julius when B.I. He left the Lakers and goes to the All-Star game. Now I got the ball. I don't have to share it with LeBron. I got the ball all by myself. And so now you see these guys, you see Jrue Randle. When he leaves, he's not having to share the ball. Before Brunson get there, he's an all-star player. So what we're saying is that when guys, when you, it's a two-star team. When mm-hmm. one of the stars go out, the other star must do more, even more. Mm-hmm. Whether it's points, whether it's rebounds, whether it's assists, but we need to see more of your impact on the game. And he's saying that when Embiid goes out, we didn't see that, we didn't see that level of production go up because they were losing games left and right. And Kobe White, I agree, Kobe White was unbelievable. I mean, a 10-point increase.
Yes, that is hard to do.
That's yeah. that's very hard to do because it's still DeRozan's team. And at the start of the season, now I think what helped Kobe White is when Zach LaVine goes out, Gil, because he ain't going to be able to get that many shots with LaVine and DeRozan in the game. Something right. got to give. So one of those guys goes out, and that's what you're saying. He's like, well, I'm giving you, not quite, but I'm giving you a lot of the production that was lost with LaVine. I'm giving you some of that production back. But I won't fight you on that, Gil. I won't fight you and say Kobe White should have been a most improved player. But the shocker of the night, the Heat beat the Celtics.
Wait. Time out. Why would you start that segment off like that? What you mean the shocker of the night?
Whoa.
What you mean the shocker of the night?
If the shocker of the night.
Did you expect Boston to come into Miami and beat the Heat?
They were in Boston.
Same thing.
Yeah. I mean, Boston is close. I mean, both of them on water, so I can see how you won.
Yeah. I'm just asking.
Yes.
Just real quick, before we even talk about the Celtics Heat game, do you expect Boston to beat the Heat? I'm just curious. Even though Jimmy Butler's not there, you expect him to win the series?
Boston was the overwhelming betting favorite. Yes.
Right. They're the overwhelming. So how about you bet? Let's bet 200.
Run it.
Let's bet 200 on the series.
Run it.
All right. Throw it on the floor.
All right.
Just throw it on the floor.
You know what I'm saying? You know, money out of sight, calls a fight. Oh, let me get my 200.
I don't want to have to hurt you now.
Yeah, because you know, all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? Money get a smell to it. You know, when I give it to you, they got no smell. But when I ask for my money back, man, here go your little funky $200. Oh, it's funky now. my little stinking $200 now, huh? Now right, I got a smell to it. You should have said it was funky before I gave it to your ass.
One thing you should never do, never bet against Spoelstra. Never bet against Spoelstra and what he can do. He can do more with less. And you ain't learned your lesson yet. Could you just bet against us?
Miami goes into Boston, win by 10. As they set a franchise record for threes. They made 23 threes. They made 37 field goals. Mm-hmm. 23 of them were threes. So the other 14 came on two-point shots, and they were 14 and 18 from the field. And that was really the difference of the ball game. They beat Boston at their own game. Boston takes the most, makes the most threes. Tonight, Miami gave them a dose of their own medicine. Got great production. They started five. Everybody was in double figures. Havoc had 11 points. Caleb Martin had 21 points on 5 of 6 from three. Bam Adebayo had a double-double, 21 points. And 10 rebounds. Tyler Hero was 6 of 11 from 3. He had 24 points. Jaime Hycats Jr., he was 3 of 6 from the three-point line. He had 14 points. Duncan Robinson, he had 6 points. He was 2 of 7 from the 3. What's Highsmith's first name? Highsmith was 3 of 5 from the 3. He had 9 points. Wright, 1 of 3. So when you shoot 53% with that many threes, Gil, what is the team gonna do? Hayward Highsmith. Double
H. And so he ain't even important enough to know his name, just be honest. But you know, I never understood Boston when they play against Miami, right? Miami is a small team.
Yes.
They play small, right? They want you to play the same style because that's their greatness.
Right.
Boston does it every single time. You play the Miami style. If they want to shoot threes, drive the ball. Tatum, who's going to block you? Brown, who's going to block you? right? They don't have anybody. You're putting so much pressure on Bam. If you attack that basket, there's nothing he can do. And once he's out of the game, who do they have? But the fact that you're going to sit there and shoot jumpers all day, it just benefits Miami. And that's why they keep taking these L's to them.
But that's the, Ocho, before you go, but that's their game though, Gil. Like I said, we as I said in the intro, nobody takes more and nobody makes more. They got a 60, they're like, hold on, Gil. We got a 64-18 record. We had to be doing something, right? And it got them in trouble. Go ahead, Ocho. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I said the Heat were playing at home, and I understood they were playing at the Garden. But if you knew and did your homework like I did my homework, the goddamn Heat owned the Celtics at the Garden in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Heat have won the last 5 or 7 games in the playoffs against the Celtics, which is why I don't understand, as a betting man, as a gambler yourself, why you would even take that bet knowing that the Heat are going to win this series.
Well, I don't think, if you told me that the Heat would win a game or two, I wouldn't be shocked. Win the series is a bit much. I'm sure there are some Heat fans that probably would take that bet, but I don't know how many because they don't show their ass up to the game. Y'all believe so much in the Heat, y'all don't even go to the game.
We show up to the game.
No, you don't. We feel the
arena every night.
No, you don't. No.
Yes. They go from the club straight to the game, back to the club.
They come at halftime of the game.
Traffic bad. Traffic bad downtown. That's all.
I think, look, Jason Tatum was 10 of 20, 2 of 6, 6 of 8 from the, he had 28. Jaylen Brown was 13 of 23, 4 of 9 from 3, 3 of 6 from, he was a minus 22. Porzingis was a minus 32.
Mm.
And so, Gil, let me ask you this. This is what I want to know, because I'm watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of times we go into a game, and Ocho, you know this. They might say, okay, this guy isn't good at that, so let him do it. Well, he doesn't shoot the three ball really well, so don't worry about him. Let's not leave Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, somebody like that. But at what point in time do you see, okay, he made one. Damn. He made another one. Nah, I ain't finna overreact. Hold on. At some point in time, Gil, you're like, hold on. We got to hug up. We got to challenge some of these threes. Mm-hmm. We can't just be, hey, go ahead and shoot it.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's this thing, I don't know why players do this. If a coach says, and the scouting report is, they can't shoot, slow rotate to them. Mm. All of us do it. We ain't even going to show up over there, right? Ah, he can't shoot, do the wave. he going to hit two or three of those. Now it's too late.
Yes, you got a rhythm.
Now, as soon as he get it, I'm going to overrun it. He going to drive by me. Now I'm going to hesitate. He going to shoot a shot. Now he's playing. Now he's playing the puppet master with me. Now he's sitting there doing this with me.
Yeah, he's right. Pedal.
And that problem. Yeah. You still, this is still an NBA player.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, he can't shoot when someone has a hand in his face, but everybody can shoot wide open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Shaq shooting free throws in practice, he's shooting about 80%. In the game, 50. Right?
Yeah.
You can't bring practice to players like this. Mm-hmm. If a guy can't shoot, do not tempt him to shoot those shots, because once he gets rolling, his confidence is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To still be there to challenge it, knowing that he wants to drive.
They're letting guys shoot around threes. Everybody on the NBA roster, with the exception of probably Boban. And Boban probably can make 2 or 10. But for the most part, don't you know, real talk. If you've been to games, you watch these guys shoot the basketball.
Yes,
and guys have hit like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 shots in a row. And mm-hmm. He might not even see the court.
Right.
You leave a guy wide open. It's just like we get a game plan. Okay, this guy's not that strong at the point of attack, and he doesn't bend the edge as well. Well, come halftime, he's got 2 sacks and 5 pressures. Well, we got to change. We got to slide the protection to him. I know what the scouting report said, and I know what Mike's going to do. He's going to start sliding the protection, or he's going to have the back to chip his way out. You got to alter that. But all they did, half-heartedly, run halfway there, stick a hand up. Well, the guy jumping, he don't even see your hand. Yeah. And once they get into a rhythm, they don't even see you. But I was surprised that Boston didn't really alter anything. They were just like, okay, we're going to hope you're going to miss. You'll miss. You're not going to make that many. Well, they might not make 23 again, but they made them that night, and you made no adjustment.
Right.
Problem is, what do you think they do in Miami? What is Duncan Robinson going to do besides shoot three? What is Hero going to do besides shoot three? What is Kevin Love when he come in the game? What you think he going to do? Shoot three. He can't move.
No.
We can play in Miami if Kevin Love is out there.
Yeah, Kevin Love played. I guess feet hurt.
The only person that don't shoot threes is Bam.
Bam, yeah. And Bam will let one go. He'll let one go, hope it go in. At the end of the shot clock, Bam like, well, hell, I got to let it go. Yeah. It's going to be a turnover. I don't want a turnover, so I take a miss.
What's the chance that we get Jimmy back before the series end? Slim to none?
Yeah. What is injury?
MCL. Sprain MCL.
Just a little sprain.
You're going to try to hold off as long as possible, and I hope they don't shoot him up with the Toradol or whatever they got now, that new stuff, you know, just so he can go out there and play. I think, you know, Pat Riley would, you know, like they did Hero last year, they're not going to put him in the fire if his knee ain't ready.
Right.
They're going to tease it. They're going to tease old Jimmy coming back. They might do that a couple times, right? But I don't see them. If it's sprained, they're going to really be careful about it.
Yeah, I just don't get what Boston was thinking. That's a team. I mean, first of all, they ain't got a guy that's going to really drive the basketball. I mean, so what are they going to do? They're going to shoot three. Jimmy is the only one that's willing to put the ball in the basket, the ball on the floor, and consistently get to the basket. Like you said, those other guys, they're looking to get 3 balls off. That's their game. Yep.
That's it.
But look, we know Boston normally takes around, they try to get around 40. You know it's bad. They only got 32 threes up, Gil. They normally in the 40s.
Like, I really don't understand. Like, you're letting just drive. Just first half, I'm telling, hey, listen, I know we like threes. Good, I'll make it up to you next round. Mm. Right now, drive every time you get the ball. Because once Bam goes down, that team is basically 6'6" and below.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Right? That's the Philippines. Yeah. The Philippine got a lead. Everybody, look, 6'3 and under.
Right.
Yeah, 6'3". Everybody guards after that.
Right. If it's so, anybody, before you go, Ocho, if it's not Harmon Highcans, I'm running everybody else off the three-point line. I know Caleb Martin can shoot threes. I know Tyler Hero can shoot threes. I know Duncan Robinson can shoot threes. I know Jokic, he can shoot threes. If it ain't what you call him, I'm running him off too, and hopefully we get rotation over.
Yep.
Because he'll go away. He'll bam on you now. Oh, he'll flush it on you.
Okay, so next game, we got game three. What game three? Game three in Miami?
In Miami.
Okay, game three is in Miami.
Yes.
Let's say the Celtics come back and they make the adjustments based off what Gillis talk about.
Yeah.
And they say, you know what, we're going to put the ball on the floor and we're going to drive.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
So all Spo is going to do is just make the adjustments as well. If we're not going to hike up threes, we're going to move the ball around enough, put the ball on the floor. And when you have your opportunities, pick, roll. I mean, whatever you got to do, mid-range coming to play, Bam backing down. Who they got to stop Bam in the paint?
Porzingis.
Outside of Porzingis. How you say his name?
Porzingis. Porzingis.
Porzingis. And we don't see Buddy.
He was bad, though. He was 1-for-9, 0-for-4. He was a minus 32 in 30 minutes.
See, his confidence already shot.
Holiday didn't play much better.
We handle him in the paint. Get down to Bam. Bam put a little muscle on him. Miss a wrap again, and we gonna win game three in Miami too.
Yeah,
if they like they did today, they will. Like they don't have any shot blockers. That's the only problem with Miami. They don't have any shot blockers. So if you attack the rim, you put so much pressure on Bam himself.
Right,
and you asking, and Bam has to jump. He gets his first foul, or he goes for blocking. Get the offensive rebound.
Right.
You're going to see the frustration on his face. So there's strategies within strategies in the playoffs, and Boston thinks this is regular season.
Yeah.
They beat you for a reason. It's not like your team has not been dominant in a regular season. You've been dominant, Boston, right? Yeah. This team has beaten you. There's a reason why. They figured out you guys don't like to get hit. So they're going to beat up on you and try to keep you out there to shoot. It's like a boxer, right?
Yeah.
If you're fighting Mike Tyson, you're going to try to use the length. You don't want to get in your body.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the pocket with him.
Now, imagine if Mike Tyson can never get to the body. That's what it is. They're trying to keep going and keep swinging from back there. You can't hurt me.
Is it Jovic or Hobbit? Jovic. It's Jovic. Jovic.
Jovic.
Man, you really trying to learn people's names?
Yeah, because I want people, you know what I'm saying? People like, man, that ain't a man name. Jovic. Well, then we jumped the gun. But guess what? We're going to go ahead and get it now. We're going to go get it now. Go ahead. Run the news cap.
News cap.
Rough, here it is, a Giannis update from Shams. Sean said, I'm told Giannis has at least started to do some stationary jump shooting, but still not much cutting, scrimmaging, no all-out running yet. I think the Bucks have been prepared to keep playing on without Giannis. Yeah, I hope they didn't think this was going to interrupt our normally scheduled programming.
Nah.
We know there's a very slim chance that Giannis is going to return in this series, a very slim. And I'm thinking maybe game six or seven, Gil, but I don't see a scenario. I mean, maybe you've dealt with calf injuries in basketball, a lot of plant stop, cutting, jumping, things of that nature. But what do you think? Do you think we see him before game six or seven, if we see him at all?
I, unless they get to the championship, Giannis ain't coming back. Mm. And if he does, they are stupid because If you know anyone who tore their Achilles,
yeah,
unless it's just random right there, usually the low calf strain is where it starts off with. Low calf strain, high Achilles, right? That's where it's connected at.
Right.
So that happened to Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and we see what happened. For him, it was his right leg, which is not his jumping leg, so it doesn't affect his game. Mm-hmm. Giannis, it's his jumping leg.
Right.
Right. So the way he plays this game, there's no way he can come back in the playoffs trying to do what he do and won't have a high probability of tearing that Achilles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no point in bringing him back. I'm sorry. It'd be career suicide if you do.
What are you thinking, Ocho?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's obviously, I think it's a calf strain. And you come back too soon from that, you're going to compromise other areas of your lower extremities. And
start to compensate.
You're going to start compensating. And the first thing that's going to go is that Achilles. And then what's going to make it even worse is if you take any type of Toradol, you take any type of pain medication that doesn't allow you.
You don't know it's hurting.
You don't know it's hurting. Man, listen, you're gonna tear everything up below that knee.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You took Toradol, Ocho?
I had to say just one time. I tore my labrum from 12 to 6.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a brace and I took a Toradol for 2 games just to be able to get through that pain of having to raise up. Obviously, the brace wouldn't allow me to come all the way up.
Yeah.
But boy, when I got about right here, I just wanted to be able, if the ball was a little high, I wanted to be able to reach up and go get it.
Yeah.
But once that adrenaline start running, I ain't feel nothing. But after that game,
you got to tell me, hey, I don't shout out. Hey, man, Sharp, you going to be able to go? I was like, I don't know. Monday. Tuesday. Man, I go in there Sunday. Ocho, man, I have partially separated both of my shoulders. Rest your soul, Dave Dorison. We playing the Cardinals. In the last preseason game,
yeah,
I went to run a 7 route, laid out for it, fell on this shoulder, and then he fell on top of me and got the other one.
Ooh,
I'm like, this here, Ocho. Hey, he been listening to this. Man, they gave me about 2 or 3 shots, and then about 2 or 3 and this one.
You was good.
I could do this right here. Man, I messed around and cracked. Who I cracked back on? That might have been, was it Ronnie? I think I cracked on Ronnie.
Ronnie Lott?
Yes. But this was like the second quarter. Man, my body went numb. I said, oh no, I can't do this no more.
I know you was on the toilet.
I was getting cortisone. And now I did take Toradol. I took those shots. Oh yeah.
Run through.
But I never had no problem with Toradol.
Was there?
No.
I took the pill twice. I'd never forget. I needed that.
Man, I shot my ankle up every in 93 and 94. I shot my ankle up every week. Man, it got so bad, Ocho. The skin. I hadn't shot my ankle up so much the skin was falling off. It wasn't number white meat. You didn't see number white meat, Gil. Hey, I had to get I got 3 kids. I got a house. I got like
You got to play, huh?
I got to get out there.
Yeah, you got
to
play.
I got to get it.
I got you.
I got to get it. Kid, private school, child support. Right. I'm $200,000 over budget for a house I didn't need. I got a quarter of a million dollar car and a Ferrari. I got a big body beat. Oh, man, yeah, I got to get that. Yeah.
Damn, you sound like a car lot.
Ocho, I'm in the training room, though. Give me that torn off and go on and hook these ankles up. Oh, I'm gonna bend there. I got to get that.
Yeah, you can't listen. You can't make the club in the tub.
Hell no. Nah. Hell no. Nah.
But yeah. I hurt my knee. That's what ruined my career. The Toradol, we playing in the play. And I came back and Mr. LeBron James, the young one, not this old, the young one, running through the lane, and I tried to stop him with one of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ran into my wrist, and I was done. hit me with the butt shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
BBL. It was the first BBL, huh? And I couldn't feel nothing out there just because I just came off the knee surgery, right? So I'm protecting my knee. Mm-hmm. Oh, once I got the shot, I'm in there flying and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, it definitely take the edge, y'all. It definitely take the edge.
Extended it, didn't even know it, and then realized as soon as that series is over with, I got to get another surgery.
I hurt myself, Ocho. I went over the middle. I caught it, and I saw him coming. And so I braced. Mm-hmm. I braced so hard, I ripped rib cartilage. I ripped my own rib cartilage. He ain't hit me. I braced so hard, I ripped my own rib cartilage.
Right. You tensed up, huh?
Yes. So now, on my side, I got a rib that protrudes because the cartilage is not there to hold it down. So this happened late in the game. I came straight to the sideline. I said, Greek, I tore something. Hey, let's go shoot it up. He said, Sharpie, it's too late in the game. We'll see what's going on after the game.
Right.
Hey.
You played the following week?
Man, they're going to put that medicine in me, Ocho. Yeah. I did it like, because you know, you real tender in here.
Oh, yeah.
I did it for like three. I said, I can't do it no more. I can't do it no more. That thing with her. Hey, like when you talk about brushing your teeth, cough.
Especially coughing. Or sneezing. If you got to sneeze.
Trying to lay down, you like. Man, I done had everything. I broke my collarbone. That was a painful. Fracture my eye socket. Dislocated my
hey, man. That was Unk. Hey, Unk, you like the goddamn, remember the little video game Operation?
Yeah.
Everything been hurt on you.
And when people talk about, man, Unk be walking effed up. Yeah. If you know what Unk had done to his body, you be walking effed up too.
Right.
Bone on bone in my left knee. I had the nerves dead in my ankle, both hips replaced, fracture orbital, knees, scope, dislocated elbow, fracture collarbone. Hey.
Matt, you know what all that come from, right?
What?
Lack of nutrition, lack of eating all that healthy shit. Hey. I told you.
Guess what?
I had one injury. I dislocated my pinky finger. You see my pinky finger? I can't even straighten out no more.
Man, please.
That's it. One injury, 12 years.
And that's it?
What did I eat?
Ocho, look at Jackie Slater. Jim Marshall. Jim Marshall played 20 years in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hold on. In Minnesota when they were outside.
When it was outside of Minnesota? They had a dome? Oh,
they didn't build a Metrodome. I think they went inside in like 85. They used to play outside. So, you know, Minnesota is cold. Green Bay is cold. Chicago is cold.
Yeah.
Detroit is cold. So,
what you're saying?
Huh?
Because fat don't tear. Muscle do.
No. No. See, I had to be somewhere around. I couldn't be over 6% body fat. I had to be somewhere in that 5-6% range.
Right.
Because I had to be light.
Right.
Do what that give?
For who? To do what?
I had to get them up off me, Gil. You know, when I put them clamps on them, Gil, hey, they like, let me go.
Wait, so you think you were about 6% body fat?
I was about 5-6. Yeah.
Well, if you were 5-6, I was probably 2. I was probably 2 or 3.
Ocho, you weighed 36 pounds.
Would you stop saying that, man, for people really think I was that little? I played at 215.
Man, look here.
I was at 215, too.
Ocho ain't never been 215 in life, Gil.
With the pads on or off?
No, pads, off. Pads, I was rocked up.
Pads and a 25-pound weight, I put him at 205.
Right, like Rip Hamilton?
Yeah, I was 215. I was 6'3", 215, man. 4'2", 4'1", 4'2", 4'1", 40.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals.
Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you just told everybody your 40 time was why you went in the second round. Now you ran 4-2.
No, the reason I went in the second round because I bounced around from school to school and it was too many red flags. That's why. Too many red flags. I went to 30-11 schools before I even got drafted.
Bro.
30-11.
Look here. Eric Swan was in the semi-league. That joker went in the first round. Top five pick.
What year that was?
What year Swan come out? 96.
And that's why.
No.
2001. 2001. Man, hey, listen. They went and talked to my teachers in elementary school. I mean, what does it matter what I did in elementary school going into the draft in 2001? That made no sense to me.
Actually, look.
Elementary school?
Ocho, when I'm investing that count, let me ask you a question. If somebody said, Ocho, I got a deal and I need you to invest 10 million, I need you to invest 20 million, 30 million, you going to take their word for it or what? Are you going to do some background checking?
Do me a
I'm
favor.
Just asking, Ocho. Please, I'm just asking.
I understand. I understand doing a background check. Please explain to me how talking to my elementary teachers in 1985, 1984,
what type of kid was it?
What does that have to do with anything?
Was
with
he disruptive? Going, did he steal? Did he flatten
who wasn't, your time? Who wasn't disruptive in elementary? Of course I was.
A lot of kids weren't disruptive, Ocho. I mean, what the
show
heck?
Show me somebody in elementary school that wasn't disruptive in any kind of way. Show me somebody in elementary school that instilled something in some kind of way.
My brother.
I really don't get that either. Like, I was stealing because I'm broke. Once you drop me, I ain't broke no more. So I don't need to steal. So that don't even matter right there.
First of all, Gil, you had a mom and a dad. You middle class. You ain't broke. You were good. We'd have robbed you. Me and Ocho would have robbed you.
But I'm just saying the stuff they be asking, like, you, if you drive me, all these problems go away.
Now, some of the stuff I will concede. Some of the stuff that they ask goes overboard.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Now, you heard the story about Blackman from Oklahoma State.
Justin Blackman?
They went down there.
What happened?
One GM said he went to Oklahoma State. He didn't know who he was. He said he was in a bar. He went to this bar 5 days in a row. Guess who was in the bar having a drink every day that he was there? Ocho, Ocho, tell the people who's out of the league because why?
Hey,
that's
you know
why
what?
You do. That's why you do.
Wait, back. Jacksonville, Justin Black.
Yes, the issue.
Wait,
the issue that he had at Oklahoma State. Jacksonville didn't do their homework. Mm. One team did their homework, took him off their board.
Mm.
When you invest that kind of money, it's just like you probably, if you're going to invest that kind of time and energy and money in a young lady. In today's time, you better go do some background.
Mm.
I mean, today you do have to go back to elementary. Now you got to go back to elementary school just to make sure. Just what it was then.
Oh, there you go, Kissy. There we go. We got to move the conversation along. We got to move the conversation along, Ocho. I ain't fooling with Gil. Man, I ain't fooling with Gil.
I'm just saying.
Bad CJ,
Gil, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
You do. Ocho, see right there?
Yeah. Hey, boy. Hey, listen. All
185 pounds.
Man, I'm 215 right there. What are you talking about?
No, you're not.
You see how many abs I got?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Chisel, 3% body fat, 6'3", 215 for 140. That was me.
A squirrel leaner than a bear.
You talking about? Hey, one thing about you, I was here when I was well now. Huh? Hey, I tell you, they voted me America's sexiest man alive in 2005.
2005?
Yeah, sexiest man alive. Hey, there wasn't nothing like me. I was Maurice Chestnut before Maurice Chestnut. I was Blair Underwood before Blair Underwood.
Wait, hold on. Because we got drafted. You said 2005?
No, I'm saying I got drafted in 2001. It wasn't until I came into myself and puberty hit. Then I became the sexiest man alive for like a year. After that shit fell. I fell off after that.
Yeah, you might have been.
Okay, I was just checking because I was back then. I was sexy in 46 states.
Yeah, they banned me. Y'all already been. Yeah.
Hey, 46?
Yeah, I was 46. I was still working on the other ones.
Oh, man.
Man, y'all need help. Are the Gil, let me ask you this. Are the Suns too top heavy? After seeing the Suns being overwhelmed again, losing two games by an average of 18 points, even with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, all playing heavy minutes, are we witnessing the end of the super team era, or at least super team as we once knew them, composed of big free agent signings surrounded by vet minimum players?
I mean, we've seen this when, you know, LeBron went to Miami that first year. It was the big three and you had a bunch of minimum players.
Mm-hmm.
This might be that year for them, where they are a little top heavy, but for the most part, they do have enough pieces. They're just not using them right. Right. You have been three individuals out there that's trying to still figure out who needs the ball, how they're going to get the ball, how they're going to get their shots. When I'm open, if you're on, I need to pass you the ball. They're still in this is like training camp issues.
Okay.
Mm. So the fact in the playoffs and they're still trying to figure out what plays we're going to call and who's going to get the ball. But for the most part, they have a solid top seven players.
Okay. And that's pretty much all you need. You need 7 or 8 in the playoffs. That's all you need. That 9, 10, 11-man rotation. Hey, bro, y'all not finna get them 5 or 6 minutes, them 10, 8 minutes y'all was getting in the regular season. As we go along further, you got to rely on your guys to play 40 to 44 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you blowing somebody out and then hopefully you have a bad game or you get blown out. And so now, obviously, that's going to reduce your minutes because you're not going to be playing meaningless minutes when there is no, you're down by 30 at the start of the fourth quarter. You're going to be out of the ball game. But for the most part, yeah, but you say pieces. And that's kind of what they, Grayson Allen is gone. He led, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he led the league in a 3-point percentage. So he was one of your snipers when you try to, you know, you try to double to get the ball out of Book's hand. He could throw it, skip it to Grayson Allen, because he's won some games for him. He's been their leading scorer. Same thing with KD.
There's no reason that these three shouldn't be how Bosh, Wade, and LeBron were.
Well, who's going to be Bosh?
They don't. Kevin Durant can be either one. He can be anyone he wants to be. He can be anyone he wants to be at this moment in time. But there's this. It's like how in football Brady and Gronk played, right?
Yeah,
Gronk, Gronk and Adelman, right?
Right.
That's three. They don't play like that. They don't play together like that. You get it. I'm a drive. I'll give it to you. You drive it. They're not playing through each other.
Okay.
So, and that's the problem with this.
So they're playing individually.
They're playing individually. And if I don't have it, I'll give it to you. If you don't have it, that's not how you win games in the playoffs. We have to all be on the same accord, right? If I have the ball and I turn left, you're going back door because your man is looking at me, and then I'm going to dribble, hand it off to you, then I'm going to slash. It's the three-headed combo, and they're not playing that way right now.
You know what they need? They need a big that can score. I know your nerd get the rebounds, he can set, but if just imagine if they had a big that could score. You see the way Maxey plays off of Embiid. You see the way Jamal Murray, you see the way Porter Jr. play off Yoke. When you got a big that can score, see, I would rather have a big that can give me a consistent 12-14 as opposed to having Bradley Beal with Book and KD.
KD.
Mm-hmm. If you look at it, really, Ayton didn't want to be in Phoenix anymore. For whatever reason, him and Monty Smith bumped heat. They bumped. But Ayton was a better fit than Nurk. He could score. Because he could roll, dive to the rim, boom. Had a nice little jump shot, little jump hook from 10 to 12. I think he would fit better, and he would have been a better option as their third option as opposed to Beal.
Mm. Yeah, I mean they shouldn't have let him go. I know they had to. That inside outside presence really have to be studied a little bit more with this new generation. But they do have three guard-like players that do post up too. Bradley Beal's a great post-up player. Booker's a very great post-up player. And Kevin Durant is a great post-up player, but they're not posting up anybody.
No, they don't. They don't like to.
Conley would be on that block in the playoffs. He would be on that block. He gonna have to scream for help.
Right.
Come in, double help. That's all you're going to hear the whole game. Rudy, where you at? That's what they should do. You have to beat up on certain players in the playoffs.
Right.
Like if I'm playing against Tony Parker in the playoffs, I'm not playing pick and roll. Let's drop him. One drop. Let's go. Take him out. Put Bruce Bowen on me. Now I got Bruce Bowen on me. Let's play pick and roll because he's not a great pick and roll player. Right? You have to learn how to manipulate the game. And as great as these guys are, they're not.
Right. Mm. And then you think about it. Dang it. They don't really have size because who's going to guard Cat in the post? Then you got Naz Reid coming. So, I mean, this is a horrible matchup. Mm-hmm. It's really horrible. Now, could Phoenix win? Could they all of a sudden, you know, look, all they did was lose two games on the road. They weren't favored. The series don't start till a road team wins. That's when series starts. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody, for the most part, is held serve at home with the exception of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Milwaukee has lost home court. Everybody else is held serve.
Boston.
And Boston just lost home court tonight. But when you, I mean, KD, he might be the same height as Cat, but the size discrepancy, Cat gonna put him on the block and he can't do anything about it. Naz Reid is a big that can shoot, can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what do you do? Nothing.
you still got to, you got to put your will on this game. Okay. And that's the playoffs is. Everyone is outmatched. It's who's playing to their strength the best.
Right.
And right now, Minnesota is.
Well, can I ask you a question? What's Phoenix strength? Because they damn sure ain't playing to it. Or whatever that is. Shooting is their strength.
Taking days off? Taking days off is their strength right now.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.